Okay, so we're going to try not to sit down on the job today. I want to read to you just a little bit from John chapter 1. The next day, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes one who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remained is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. So John Godfrey Saxe was an American poet who lived back in the 1800s. And he gained notoriety for his translation of an ancient Indian fable called The Blind Men and the Elephant. Okay, perhaps you're familiar with it. It goes something like this. It was six men from Indostan to learning much inclined who went to see an elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant and happening to fall against its broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but this elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of its tusk, said, "Ho, what have we here? So round and smooth and very sharp, to me 'tis very clear, the wonder of the elephant is very like a spear." The third approached the animal and, happening to take its squirming trunk within his hand, thus boldly up and spake, "I see," said he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out his eager hand and felt about its knee. "What most this wondrous beast is like is mighty plain," said he. "'Tis clear the elephant is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch an ear, said, "E'en the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact, who can? The marvel of the elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than seized upon its swinging tail that fell within his scope. "I see," said he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men from Indostan disputed loud and long, within each own opinion exceeding stiff and strong, for all of them were partly right, yet all of them were wrong. All right, so that parable, that poem has often been used to talk about religious intolerance and closed-mindedness. I want to use it in just a little bit different way this morning. See, one of the things they taught us when I attended interim pastor training a couple of years ago up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was that you're never supposed to ignore the elephant in the room. Okay, so this morning I want to take a look at the elephant in the room today and see what that might have to do with the two Bible passages we read earlier in the service. Before we go on, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, we thank you that whatever else is going on here this morning, that you are here in glory, in wonder, and in power. And we thank you, Lord, for meeting us here and for calling us together to hear your holy word. So give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts and minds that can understand what you want us to hear and see and understand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't generally like to use myself as a sermon illustration, but I kind of think I need to this morning because in a lot of ways I feel like I am the elephant in the room. For those of you who weren't here last week and haven't caught on yet or heard, during this worship service last week, I had some kind of episode and ended up having to spend the rest of the day last Sunday and most of the day last Monday at Riverside Hospital. Now, I have absolutely no clue what happened. But what I do know is that when it did happen, you, this body, surrounded me with love and attention and prayer, and you laid hands on me. And I want you to know that the power I experienced from all that you did was incredibly real. Okay, now many of you know that about 3 years ago, I actually suffered from a very major stroke. Okay, now while what happened last week wasn't anywhere nearly as intense or profound, it was close enough to be of concern. So after the 9:30 service, Melissa took me to the emergency room. And when she told them that I was a stroke survivor, I immediately went to the head of the line. Okay, now it wasn't a very long line last Sunday morning, but I still went to the head of it. And in just a few minutes, the attending physician was examining me and asking me all sorts of questions and making me do all sorts of things. And very quickly, the room was filled with all kinds of medical technicians and professionals. They took me to get a CT scan. They did an MRI of my brain and didn't find anything, which I thought was a little worrisome. They took so much blood, I began to wonder if I was going to have any left for myself. And over the next 36 hours or so, went through more tests and observations and a lot of things I don't even remember. But the bottom line is, after all of that, they really couldn't find a cause for whatever it was that happened up here Sunday morning. It could have been any number or any combination of any number of things. Maybe I just didn't rehydrate enough after my workout Saturday morning and the bike ride Melissa and I took on Saturday afternoon last week. Maybe there was something amiss with the oatmeal I had for breakfast last Sunday morning. Maybe it was a glass of wine I had with supper on Saturday night. Maybe I just didn't sleep correctly Saturday and Sunday morning. It may have been any one of those or others or a combination of a whole bunch of things. But it could have been something else, you know. Now please hear me when I say that I have absolutely no clue what happened. And in a lot of ways, I'm like one of those blind men in the parable. I cannot see the big picture. But there is a possibility that something did happen up here on Sunday morning last week, something very serious. You know, there is a possibility that maybe I did have another stroke, however unlikely that might have been. Maybe I had a transischemic attack, a TIA, for those of you who are familiar with that term, because that was one of the things the doctors suspected had happened. Maybe something very serious did happen to me up here last Sunday, and you, the body of Christ, intervened on my behalf. You came to me and you gave me aid and comfort. You prayed for my well-being. You gave me love and compassion. You laid your hands on me and I was healed. It is a possibility. Because in the New Testament, book of James, the Bible says this: are any of you suffering? Pray. Are any of you cheerful? Sing songs of praise. Are any of you sick? Call for the elders to come pray for you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the righteous will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. And if any have committed sins, you will be forgiven. Therefore, pray for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Friends, you are the body of Christ. And individually, you are members of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So what about those passages that we read earlier in the service? The passage from Isaiah 49 that Paul read earlier in the service is another one of those servant songs in the book of Isaiah. I think I remember mentioning that last week. Okay, there are four servant songs in Isaiah. This is one of them. And in this part of the prophecy, Isaiah clearly reminds God's servant Israel that they have been appointed to be a light to the nations so that the message of salvation will reach the very ends of the earth. That's in the Old Testament, folks. It's not in the book of Acts. But it's almost identical. And in the New Testament passage from the Gospel of John we read, is about how John the Baptist saw Jesus and he said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then it talks about how Jesus started gathering this community of people around him who would join in the mission of taking the message of salvation to all the peoples of the world. The Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ has clearly revealed that this body is a continuation of that community that Jesus called together so very many years ago. You have been appointed a light to the nations to carry the message of salvation to the very ends of the earth. Kirkwood Presbyterian Church has been called by God to be a community, a Christian community, growing together, knowing, loving, serving Christ to make Him known to all people everywhere. And so that starts to shine a light on another part of this big elephant that's in the room today. The elephant that Bruce sort of pointed out a little bit earlier. As many of you know, back in March of 2018, through the Voice of Your Session, you asked me to be your interim pastor. Your longtime pastor of 28 years, Michael Condrey, retired in 2017, and you needed some time to reflect on your past, to hope and dream about your future. And you asked me to come help you do that. And over the last couple of years, we've done some incredibly wonderful things together. At least I think they're pretty wonderful. I leave the rest up to you. Okay, we did a lot of reflecting, and we've done a lot of hoping and a lot of dreaming. We've asked and answered a lot of important questions. Not all of them, but many of them. We wrote a very comprehensive mission study report that detailed a lot of those reflections and dreams and questions and answers. And then back in the early fall, you put together a pastor nominating committee who is now hard at work trying to identify the one who is going to be your next called pastor. Okay, so what that means is that our time together is coming to an end. And now it's not going to be in the next week or two, unless something incredibly unforeseen happens. Okay, but sometime within the next few months, probably close to the start of the summer, the pastor nominating committee is going to identify the one Jesus has in mind to come and be your pastor, and I will step aside. I will decrease, and he or she will increase. And together you will move boldly into the future that Jesus has in mind for you. And each one of you are a part of that future. You are a member of the body of Christ and have an indispensable role to play in the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ in this place. You have been given gifts. You have been given talents. You have been given special insights that are not only desirable, they are absolutely critical for the healthy functioning of the body. So I want to deeply invite you and encourage you over the next few days and weeks and months and maybe even years to prayerfully, earnestly, maybe with the help of a spiritual advisor, actively and intentionally seek out the role God is calling you to fulfill in this part of the body of Christ and discover the joy that it is to come and see and to invite others to come and see Jesus in this place. One of the most necessary and important roles in any part of the body is that of leadership. Okay, because it is the leaders of the body who work together to discern and implement the mission that God is calling you to fulfill. Okay, traditionally, Presbyterians call their leaders elders. Doesn't really have anything to do with their age. It has to do with their function. They work together to prayerfully and earnestly seek out what God's will is and implement the ministry that Jesus is calling that part of his body to fulfill. And it's our wonderful and awesome privilege at this time to ordain and install elders who will work together with other elders in the church to move boldly into the future that Jesus has in mind for this part of his body.